All right, welcome everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in a series, The Gift of the Holy Spirit. The message today is Jude, Part 1. And that message will be delivered by Stephen Craig. I am Dr. Mary Craig. It is May 7th, 2023. And let's pray. Holy Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. Thank you, Lord God, for the body and blood sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. We thank you for his life of radical obedience, perfect, personal, and perpetual obedience, even to death of the cross, on the cross. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus fulfilled all righteousness, even dying to pay the penalty for sin, redeeming those for whom he died by his blood, the sacrifice of himself. Thank you that he brought the reconciliation that overcomes alienation from you, that by this reconciliation we can know you as Father. We thank you that Jesus bore your wrath, bore the curse, bore the sin, bore the glory. Jesus destroyed the works of darkness, defeating Satan and his kingdom publicly. Thank you, Lord, that on the third day, Jesus rose again from the dead, out from among the dead, and ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords, God the Son, Son of God, ruler over the kings of this earth, and coming again in power and great glory. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. And we ask that the Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth, guiding us into the truth. And that the Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, revealing Jesus Christ to us and granting us wisdom for the days in which we live. Particularly, Lord, to discern good from evil. And Lord God, we bow before you in all humility, and we pray, Lord God, that you would sanctify us by your word and by your Holy Spirit, that we may open, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace. Open the eyes of our minds to comprehend, perceive, and understand. And open the eyes of our hearts to receive what you have for us today in this very short epistle of Jude, but very important. In Jesus' name, amen.
So this is the series, The Gift of the Holy Spirit, and the message, Jude, Part 1. And you'll want to pay extra attention during this message, because it can be difficult in places, okay? What's going on in the visible church? Is what's happening today all that new? Should we then be surprised? Or should we be discerning and wise about the difference between unbelievers and believers? To be forewarned is to be forearmed. The scene was bad. A group of licentious people with erroneous dogma had crept into the visible church. They were corrupting folks by their teachings and practice. So Jude speaks out under the superintending influence of the Holy Spirit with an appeal and warnings. This is King James Version, Jude 1, verses 1 through 4. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude is the half-brother of Jesus. He described himself as a bondservant of Jesus Christ, referring to an overarching abstract idea of one who gives himself up to another's will, one who is devoted to the interests of another, one having a relative disregard of one's own interests, one whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing, capital H, his cause among men. Implied is self-sacrifice. Now this is from Reverend Jim Craig. Jude writes, quote, to the ones who were not only once, but continue to be the objects of love by God the Father, and to the ones who continue to be kept safe from harm by Jesus Christ, - called ones. Okay, that's Reverend Jim Craig. Now here's another quote from Reverend Jim Craig. And there are two paragraphs here. We are blessed ones who before the beginning of creation were God-loved and continue to be so. Moreover, he provided us with a capital M mediator who also, in a continuous and positive way, guards over us, watches over us, pays attention to us, and maintains us in that wonderful, blessed state to which capital H he called us in terms of relationship to God, to which we have been brought in, Christ, quote, by, quote, the love of our Father. So to which we have been brought in Christ by the love of our Father. Okay. Brought in Christ. Okay. Then, this second paragraph, then at the very end of the sentence, the whole big idea of this is summarized into a single profound term that serves to identify us and that echoes its blessing throughout time eternal. Okay, and then there's a colon. Then it says, we are, quote, called ones, quote, and we are among the number of those who were the intended readers of this epistle written by Jude. End of quote, and that's Reverend Jim Craig. Jude had a strong compulsion to write to those holding a common salvation with him and sends to his intended hearers mercy or compassion, peace, and agape love as he strongly exhorts them to contend for the faith. Jude wants them to struggle and exert great effort on behalf of something very close to them, their salvation. He wants them to be courageous. It's necessary, Jude says, because he's talking about, quote, the holy faith, specifically referring to the body of truth from God handed over to faithful ones, the Christian apostolic tradition that is normative for the true people of God, quote. And that little section was also from Reverend Jim Craig. Certain unnamed men had slipped in alongside of others, unnoticed, ones about whom it has been written in God's book of judgment long beforehand, and about whom we have presently come to have knowledge of, for the purpose of entering into the condemnation, the ones who are distorting the grace of our God into indecent sensuality, even the one Master God, capital M, of course, capital G, and Lord of us, Jesus Christ, while to their own detriment, and there's a dash, denying. Okay. The Holy Spirit, remember, is the capital P Paraclete, who comes alongside guiding us into truth, guarding us, and granting us all things necessary for life in Christ. So we're talking about a counterfeit, another wisdom, sensual and earthly and demonic, okay, and demonic. And we compare James 3, verse 15. These influencers who were into whoredoms and error distorted the grace of God, encouraged perversions, lewdness, and denial of the truth. They bring condemnation upon themselves as they seek to upend the Holy Spirit as, capital C, capital A, change agent. Okay? The Holy Spirit as change agent. Jude 1, verses 5 through 7. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels, who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, for the judgment of the great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Okay? Just like the runaway angels, those doing evil were giving themselves over to indulge in excessive sexual immorality and determined to go after flesh of an unnatural kind against the course of nature. This behavior is growing in the world today, unfettered and promoted. What used to be a crime is today a, quote, civil right, quote. We see how subjective truth is. We see how subjective truth is out to void objective truth. And now we're presented with a, it looks like kind of an overhead illustration, and this is from Reverend Jim Craig. It's titled Three Historical Witnesses. And on the left side, there are listed Entities 1, Entities 2, and Entities 3. And then directly to the right, matching with those three entities, are Witness 1, Witness 2, Witness 3. Okay? And so I'm going to read the entities 1. It says, Rebellious of Israel. And the witness that goes with that, Witness 1, goes with Rebellious of Israel, is parceled punishment. Okay? Parceled punishment, sword, plague, swallowing pit, consuming fire. Okay? And then entities 2, rebellious of angels. And the witness that goes with it, parceled punishment reserved for eternal fire. Then entities 3, rebellious inhabitants of cities, and the witness 3, consumed by fire, smoking empty ruins. Okay? All three witnesses in Jude, and this is still from Reverend Jim Craig, all three witnesses in Jude agree word for word. Three warning examples, three contrasting comparisons of membership of the saved people with the membership of the condemned, putting the one teaching in three short parabolic sayings, like parables, and illustrations in this manner is very powerful and impressive device used by Jude. Okay, so read that all again. So all three witnesses in Jude agree word for word, three warning examples, three contrasting comparisons of membership of the saved people with the membership of the condemned, putting the one teaching in three short parabolic sayings and illustrations in this manner is very powerful and impressive device used by Jude. Okay, and that was Reverend Jim Craig. That was the illustration. Okay, King James Version, Jude 1, verse 8. Likewise also, these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Okay, now we're going to go and explain what's meant by all of this. Okay, these dreamers and dream sellers defile the flesh, an ungodly deed. They reject authority, an ungodly attitude or manner. They speak evil of dignitaries, ungodly speech. The apostle appeals by way of warning to terrible instances of judgment recorded in Scripture. He brings it up again in Jude 1, verses 14 and 15. And now New King James, Jude 1, 14 through 15. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against, and it's capital H, him. Okay, have spoken against him. Let's listen to Reverend Jim Craig's comments here. And this is the explanation that I kind of mentioned just moments ago. Okay, so we're listening to Reverend Jim Craig's comments here. Dreamers. Okay, this is one possibility, so dreamers, dash, one possibility is that they relied on their dreams, and by trusting in them for guidance, they were easily led astray. This is the same as following subjective experiences that have not been tested, whether from God or otherwise. Failing to make such tests often leads many into disobeying God's written word. Likewise also, these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Okay? Of dignitaries, dash. The implication that this is a reference to leaders in the church or community needs to be taken up a notch, or 100. Okay? The Greek word is, and I'm looking at five Greek letters that I don't know the meaning of, the Greek word is, okay, and then we have, quote, glorious ones, quote, okay? So it's the Greek word for glorious ones, and refers in this context to angelic beings in the abstract. That is, glorious entities in heaven in general, including angels, the Godhead Trinity, capital G, capital T, and God's heavenly council. Okay? So that's the taking it up 100 notches to all of those. Okay? And that was of dignitaries. All right? According to a highly capable commentator on this epistle, Joseph Mayer, okay, so according to a highly capable commentator on this capital E epistle, Joseph Mayer, and according to him, the immediate reference is to angelic beings whom these false teachers had been blaspheming directly, and by doing so were blaspheming God indirectly. Because they had been perpetrating the false doctrine, that the angels had created the world, okay, all right, so this was because they had been perpetrating the false doctrine that the angels had created the world and that in opposition to the will of the true God. The following verses then point out the brazenness of these blaspheming spiritual spies who were active at both defiling the physical and the spiritual authority of God's consecrated order on earth. So, here is a comprehensive translation of Jude verse 8. And instead of saying something like New King James Version, it says, all caps in my notes, comprehensive. So this is the... Oh, that was my dad. My mom just said that was my dad's translation himself. Okay, so he called it comprehensive. And so from the comprehensive, Jude 1, verse 8. In the same manner, and then I'm looking at brackets and a capital CH dash amazingly, end of bracket, okay. In spite of the common knowledge that they knew about the fate of the three groups just mentioned, okay. These dreaming dash like, so I'll read that again, these dreaming like characters acted in their own self-interest, that is self-interest, and then I have another bracket here that says middle, okay. So that's probably the middle voice. Yeah, that's the middle voice in Greek, my mother confirms. Okay. Seemingly, let me start from the top then. So, in the same manner, and then CH-amazingly, in spite of the common knowledge that they knew about the fate of the three groups just mentioned, these dreaming-like characters acted in their own self-interest, middle voice, seemingly oblivious to God's truth. On one hand, are continually defiling flesh in the abstract and in its various forms. And on the other hand, they habitually despise lordship authority in the abstract and in its various forms. And furthermore, they press on in their blasphemy, speaking evil things about angelic beings in the abstract, including glorious entities of heaven and the glory of the true God. Okay, end of the comprehensive version of Jude 1, verse 8. Now, New King James Version, Jude 1, verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, and there's a reference that I'll give at the end, there, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, quote, the Lord rebuke you, quote. And for that reference, after I mentioned Moses, we have a compare Deuteronomy 34, verses 5 and 6, and also Zechariah 3, verses 1 and 2. Okay. Now, New King James Version, Jude 1, and we're continuing here, verses 10 and 11. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Here we have another threefold witness to unrighteousness, that of greed. Greed is the unifying motivational factor among these three biblical examples used by Jude in verse 11. In a biblical sense, greed is defined by or characterized by one's dissatisfaction with the place they occupied, and so they each engage in rebellion against God in their individual ways, greedily seeking selfish gain at any cost. The war cry of the greedy might be, quote, and this is from Reverend Jim Craig, the war cry of the greedy might be, quote, hey, that's not fair, or that should be mine instead. Okay? That should be mine instead. All right. So that was from, those were from Reverend Jim Craig. All right. And it could be more than just that little last sentence. It's probably more of it there, I'm guessing. Okay. Now, moving on to, so we had Jude 1, 10, and 11. Now we're at Jude 1, 12 to 13. So we did 10, 11. We're doing now 12 to 13. And I'm going to put some numbers in here. So in Jude 1, 12 to 13, and I'm just going to add, we're going to add some numbers. These are, number one, spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are, number two, clouds without water, carried about by the winds. Number three, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Number four, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. And lastly, number five, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever, readily seeking selfish gain at any cost. That was the last of the Jude 1, verses 12 to 13. May we take heed of what Jude is telling us through the superintending influence of the Holy Spirit and live accordingly by the power of the Holy Spirit with the mind of Christ in order to do the will of the Father. Amen. And now it says, please stand for the benediction. So I'm going to stand up here. And it says doxology. And so I'm going to read this. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, or before any age, that's in brackets, and now and forever, amen. And that was Jude 24 and 25 in the ESV version.
All right, thank you. And I just wanted to say that was part one. It's such an important epistle, Jude, not often read, but next week, God willing, we will have part two of Jude, and it's very important for our time today. I encourage you to go to the website mcmtffr.org. mcmtffr.org. TFFR stands for the Friendly Fire Room. And there you will see archived sermons of Reverend Jim Craig. And if you click on that for Sunday, and of his archive sermons, and then you'll see epistles, and over to the left you'll see a little white box, and you click on that, it'll have the messages about that he did, the sermons he did in the series on Jude. And what happened was that he was almost finished with that series, but he got a fast-acting cancer, and so that, and died June 1, 2017, and he never quite finished the teaching series on Jude. Very interesting timing, but it's very important, and now, almost 6 years later, is even more important of being able to discern what's going on in the visible church. So may the Lord be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen.